Wham! Talk 1600. You're catching the drift. Conservative talk. Intelligent conversations on local, state, and national issues with Gary Wellings, chief editor of the Current newspaper and Current Online. Join in the conversation at 734-822-1600. And now, your host, Gary Wellings.
And thank you for tuning in to catch another edition of Our Drift. Joining me in the studio today, Brandon Drake.
Hey, Gary.
Nice to have you in, dude.
Thank you, sir.
Nice surprise.
Hey.
It's my Christmas surprise.
Another random Christmas gift.
Yes, the gift that keeps on giving.
Or a Christmas terror, who knows? Ooh, I shouldn't have said that.
Yes, exactly. All right, well, we got a lot to cover today. We're going to do that Trump thing, you know, back. We're going to follow the rest of the media and just talk about Trump. Why not?
I'm riding your coattails. I've got nothing.
Well, let me take care of a little business. For this half hour, ADT Defenders, 844-327-6795. If you don't have home security, you need to. Think about what's happening around the world today and what's happening here in the United States now. Make sure that you get some security. Criminals, terrorists, whatever, get out and get some home security. You can go to www.homedefender.com/PKAFA. That's Pete Claver will come out to your house and work with you on getting a home security system installed. ADT Defenders. 844-327-6795. Don't leave it to the last minute. It's too late when you actually need it. So make sure you go out and get yourself a little security system at home.
My security system consists of my Lionel blanket and my Cindy Brady Mrs. Beasley doll. That's all I have.
I got two dogs that'll help, you know, let me know what's going on. Now, I've got plenty of security, let me assure you. But, well, let's start with Trump. He made the headlines again. This is what, you know, I'm going to say this. I don't think Donald is the big, brash, loudmouth shooting off from the hip like he does. I'm thinking he's knowing exactly what he's doing every time he makes these statements. He probably has a bank of guys saying, here's the results statistically of what's going to happen if you say this crazy thing. Because I think I read last week he has spent 1% of what Jeb Bush has spent on advertising, which means he's not advertising at all, basically. And yet he's top of the charts. He's on the news every day. He's pulling the Madonna thing. He's just, I'm on the news every hour, on the hour, 24 hours a day.
What's that term that the internet geeks use to monitor flow through their websites? Not metrics. It's
traffic.
Not traffic. It's a little more digital sounding, you know, more technic.
Digital metrics, metrics, I don't know, dude. Yeah. But I see what you're saying, though. I mean, it's all news all the time with Donald Trump. Crazy.
But, I mean, you're thinking that he has this kind of pre-planned statements based on statistics of what people are thinking and feeling.
Yeah.
And so he's not just shooting from the hip. It's more of a planned
I have to believe that. Statistically speaking, there's no way he could be spot on the money so often. And even today, and we're going to go through this because he's getting a lot of heat for his statements. And Derek, let's start with this statement. This is what Donald Trump said beginning of the week here that got everybody in the media all riled up and got the libtards crazy and got the other GOP establishment guys crazy.
Like
and just nonsense. I mean, it's crazy. And the media is up in arms. Oh my gosh, the world is going to end because Donald Trump said this. Go ahead and play that.
Donald J. Trump is calling for a total and complete shutdown of Muslims entering the United States until our country's representatives can figure out what the hell is going on. We have no choice. We have no choice. We have no choice. According to Pew Research, among others, there is a great hatred toward Americans by large segments of the Muslim population. Most recently, a poll from Center for Security Policy released data showing 25% of those polled agreed that violence against Americans, these are people that are here, by the way, people here, 25, not 1%. By the way, 1% would be unacceptable. 1% is unacceptable. 25% of those polled agreed that violence against Americans here in the United States is justified as part, think of that, as part of the global jihad. They want to change your religion. I don't think so. I don't think so. I don't think so. Not going to happen. As part of the global jihad, and 51% of those polled agreed that Muslims in America should have the choice of being governed according to Sharia.
Okay. So those two facts are pretty damning in themselves. And he didn't say ban all Muslims permanently. And he didn't say, which I've seen some of the liberal media saying, he's throwing Muslims out of the country or wants to throw Muslims out of the country. That's all crap. He said, let's stop until our representatives in government know what the hell is going on.
And here's the thing. They don't know what the hell is going on, those in charge.
Correct.
They will never know what the hell is going on, but the people who will have to face the consequences of these idiots not knowing what's going on, we know what's going on.
Yes.
And Donald Trump realizes that. And the other thing is that comes to mind when I think of Donald Trump now, one word you can sum it all up, and it's what you've been craving, I've been craving, the majority of Americans, I believe, hopefully, have been craving for at least the last 30 years or so. Ronald Reagan really tapped into it. I think Donald Trump's going to really take it up a notch. That one word you can describe it is nationalism. America first. What is wrong with that? Why is that supposed to be a bad thing? Why are you instantly called xenophobic? You know what? I'm xenophobic. I'm proud of it.
Yeah, and you can't call us xenophobes because you know what? America is made up of blacks, whites, Chinese, Orientals, you name it. We are a mixing pot of everybody. So it's not, you can't call us xenophobes. We already have a mixed population here.
I'm proud of being a xenophobe towards those that want to come here, not assimilate and destroy our culture. And you talk about attacking religion. Muslims, for example, overseas that will justify their violence and they'll say, oh, our religion is under attack. America and the West are at war with our religion. No, 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 no. You're attacking our culture, our government system, our religions. We don't care about it. Go practice whatever you want. Go pray in five times a day and do whatever you want. Leave us the hell alone. And the only reason that you ever see us coming after you over there is because you won't leave us alone.
That's right.
Your
That's
doctrine
exactly
is
right.
To come over here and you're offended by our representative government. You claim that government should be God. Well, if God is going to be running things here and you look at it as if whoever shot everyone and bombed to get to the top and that's supposed to be the representative interpreting your religion, we're not going for it.
Right. Yeah. Well, here's the hypocrisy of the left and the media for attacking Donald Trump on this. Because you know what? Donald Trump just said, hey, my idea is to ban all Muslims for a period of time until the government gets things squared away and they can protect us. Derek, you got track two ready there? Jimmy Carter actually did ban Iranians from coming here. Go ahead and play that.
Saying that Iran must pay increasingly heavy costs now, the president ordered four steps immediately. A complete break in diplomatic relations. Iranian diplomats must leave the United States by tomorrow midnight. Official sanctions prohibiting exports to Iran. The exporting of even food and medicine is expected to be minimal or non-existent. An inventory of frozen Iranian assets of over $8 billion in this country and steps toward using the money to pay claims of Americans against Iran. And a virtual shutting off of all Iranian immigration into this country by refusing new visas to Iranian citizens. Moreover, the president warned these four steps may be just the beginning.
All of it, the steps I have ordered today are those that are necessary now. Other action may become necessary. If these steps do not produce the prompt release of the hostages.
Okay, so you didn't hear that flashback from anybody in the media. All they did was attack Trump for saying something as basic, common sense as let's do a moratorium on Muslims coming into the country until we know who they are or figure out a way to figure out who they are. Because as we've said, who do you call in Syria for a background check? There is nobody.
And the whole black market for fake passports, for fake documentation and who you are history-wise, you know, that is so widespread. How can you trust any of it?
You can't.
You can't.
You can't.
So even if you have documentation saying, this is who I am, are we supposed to be that stupid to believe it?
Yeah. And that was the news this week. I put it on the Daily Drift. They found boxes and boxes of blank passports, and they believe that ISIS had the ability to print new passports.
Sure.
You know, from whatever countries they want, and how many countries do we have visa-free entry from? So they could have done anything they wanted.
And they have access to those Syrian government offices because they've taken them over, and they just basically take over what prior was going on. It was a formal documentation process by a government to now ISIS, the caliphate, taking over all those assets to be able to print and create very legitimate-looking passports.
Yeah, exactly. Let's take a call from Joe in Wyandotte. Joe, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Gary. Donald Trump is like chemotherapy. Sure, he may cure the cancer, but he may darn well destroy the rest of the body in the process. Now, I'm not a Trump supporter, but that isn't going to stop me from standing up for Trump when he is right. A Saudi prince came out and criticized Donald Trump for his comments and us not wanting to take Muslims. Well, I'm sorry, Saudi Arabia. You yourself said you will not take any Syrian refugees because you fear terrorism.
Yeah. I mean, that they preach. They don't practice what they preach.
They never do.
You know?
And hey, Saudi Arabia, why don't you welcome in a bunch of Shiite Muslims into the fold?
Yeah, well, here you go. Let's take it one step further, Joe. If Saudi Arabia can't vet the Muslims, refugees that are there, why don't you take the Christian refugees?
Yeah.
You know, that's fair. We're taking all the Muslims. Why don't you take those Christian refugees, Saudi Arabia? Yeah. You know, they're not Muslim jihadists.
But, you know, Saudi Arabia, for example, will take in a guy like Idi Amin. Remember when he went to Saudi Arabia? Went there and lived the rest of his days out for the next...
They're part of the Idi Amin fan club.
Yeah. One of the worst people on the planet, Idi Amin. And Saudi Arabia, like, you know, he's a Muslim, and welcome.
Yeah. What else you got, Joe? Anything?
Well, that was it. But, I mean, Saudi Arabia knows and admits that they cannot allow those people in because a good number of them, even if they aren't infiltrated with ISIS fighters directly, some of them will radicalize on their own or are already and will cause problems. But yet, everybody wants to criticize us if we adopt the same policy. It's like with Mexico and their border. They defend their border, but accuse us of racism if we want to defend our border. And, you know, and all those sorts of things.
Yeah.
It's blatant hypocrisy, always, over and over.
And Joe, let me ask you this. When you bring up that point, very well stated, very well put, totally accurate, and somebody comes back at you and says, well, we're better than that. We need to be better than that. If you're comparing yourself to the Saudis saying they don't want them either, doesn't that infuriate you? And what do you think? And what do you come back with when you hear it? Because I hear that all the time. We're better than that.
We like to be better than that, and we always are better than that. But you cannot commit suicide.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's what we're doing. The political correctness of this is basically suicide on the part of the United States of America.
When I hear we're better than that, more often than not, I think toward that person. First of all, you're a moron. And second of all, it doesn't mean that we should commit suicide. And you're just throwing out politically correct code to create a suicidal situation for us.
And we can and will be better than that by creating safe zones there and taking care of them there. We are the most giving nation on the planet. We will and are better than them, but that doesn't mean we need to bring them here. It's liberals twisting of biblical charity. It's not charity to just bring them here and give them other people's money.
Let's get our house in order. Let's be better than that for our own people first. And once if we ever get our own house in order, then let's look and say, you know what? Maybe we can do some things for the others. But Americans first.
Yeah.
What is wrong with that?
Yeah. Well, thanks for the call, Joe. Appreciate the comments.
Take care, guys.
All right, you too. Let's take a quick call from Ken before we jump into a break. Ken, welcome to the show.
I just want to say once again, the problem is Islam. That's the problem. The problem is the Quran. That's the problem. I'm sick and tired of people that want to say, oh, we can allow Muslims into the country. There again, when we talk about Muslim, we're not talking about our race. We're not talking about someone's nationality. We're talking about a religious belief. And Islam is a belief system, a political belief system that means death to us. We've got to stress the comparison. This is the best way to look at it. Nazism is a belief system. Islam is a belief system. We would not welcome Nazis into this country. We should never allow anyone that subscribes to Islam into this country. Throughout the Quran, I've read it cover to cover. People study the teachings of Islam. It is not a belief system that is compatible with ours. And when I keep hearing people say, oh, we should let the Muslims into this country, we're committing suicide by doing that.
Yep, yep. Well, great. Thanks for the call, Ken. Appreciate it. You take care.
Take care.
Let's grab a quick call from Ed in Ypsilanti as well. Ed, welcome to the
show.
How you doing?
Merry Christmas. I don't get another chance at you.
Yeah, Merry Christmas to you, too.
Hey, Gary. All right, hey, Ed.
Hey, look, like I was telling Linda a few weeks ago about assimilation, you know, they don't want to assimilate when they come here. They're fleeing something, which means they're not coming here to be Americans. They're coming here to escape something. If that's the case, give them safe zones over there, so when it's over, they can move right back, you know?
Yeah, I'll agree with you. It comes down to, and it's not just the safety issue, and people want to kind of let that safety issue and this racist issue and the whole thing about bigotry. You know what? It comes down to some common sense, too. When you've got millions of Americans unemployed and stagnant wages for a decade because we've been wholesaling bringing people in, don't bring anyone else here until we're all squared away with our own jobs.
Trillion-dollar deficits. Our accumulated debt is, what, $18, $19 at the federal level?
Plus the unfunded liabilities.
Unfunded liabilities. It's well over $100
trillion. Yep.
And we're talking about, oh, we can do so much more. We can do this. We can do that. Our infrastructure's crumbling. Veterans don't get the help that they need.
Yeah, right there. Until every veteran in our country has a place to live and a job, there's no sense in bringing anybody here. We should not be treating our veterans. They should be first.
Yeah.
First and foremost.
Yeah, get all that squared away. A veteran should not have to wait when he goes to the VA to get a procedure or what have you and put up with all the bureaucracy and red tape of that at all. And until, like, say, for example, that is fixed, why are we taking on more that we can't handle?
Yeah, absolutely. We got enough problems right here. Let's take a call
from...
Yeah, well, thanks, Ed. Anything else?
Well, yeah, I want to say that although I agree with almost 100% of what Trump says, I don't agree with him as a candidate. He is not my candidate. I fear him as a candidate, but I agree with everything he says. And I wonder if that prompts his approval ratings. How many other people are like that? Yeah, like him, like what he says. But really, when it comes down to it, afraid of the guy as president because of his past associations with so many liberals.
Yeah, I kind of get that. But you know what almost concerns me a little more, Ed, than that, is Donald Trump, his inability to control himself at times when it seems like he at times has a very thin skin.
Like Barack Obama?
Where if...
I'm just saying.
But what I'm getting at is you know, somebody says something, he feels the need to automatically fire back right away, when maybe at times he should just ignore that, and he doesn't have to fire back on a personal level every single time at every Joe Blow that comes at him a little bit.
But as president of the United States, he won't be firing back at every, because there's going to be so many levels of stuff coming at him. He's going to have press secretaries. He's going to have people in between. He's going to have a chief of staff. He won't be out there. I mean, the fact that he can so animatedly protect himself, you know what? I'm assuming he's going to protect the interests of the United States. And if he uses that same amount to protect himself as he would to protect us, I'm for it. And I understand that some people are worried about him being, you know, hey, he's got some liberal stuff in his past. He's supported some people in the past. You know what? They've all made mistakes. Rubio's made some huge mistakes. Gang of Eight, Amnesty Plan, anybody that wants Rubio as president is an idiot because you're not putting Americans first. That simple. Jeb Bush, amnesty. Open the bloody gates and let these people come in. Enough with the bullcrap. I'm not going to take any more of you so-called Republican conservatives who aren't protecting us and the working men and women of America. That's bullcrap.
And because of Trump's nationalism, to me, that far outweighs as any past associations with liberals or liberal policy. Again, my thing is, the character, I don't know if that's a flaw that I should be worried about, but I do think about it. But on the other opposite end of the spectrum, I criticize George Bush because it seemed like he would get abused right and left and attacked for the most ridiculous things and attacked so personally. And he never fired back. And I know he was trying to be presidential and dignified, but he took it to a level of, you know what? Go after these people. Point out their hypocrisy. Point out the nonsense and the stuff they make up because you're allowing them to define you. And Trump will never allow that to happen.
But
at times, I think he could just maybe ignore some of it.
You know what? Right now, it's a competition. Ooh, I think we lost somebody. Who do we lose there? Anyway, Ed, are you still there? Well, we lost Ed. Well, anyways, let's see if we can squeeze one more call in before the break here. Is that Mike? John on line one. John, welcome to the show.
Hey, guys, how you doing?
Good.
Hey, John. Listen, there was a fellow last night that got on the Mark Levin show, and he's Muslim. And he said, and Mark Levin really thanked him for his edification, you know, in real time. He was born and raised there, and then he came here and became a citizen the right way. But he says he's had dealings back and forth all the time, and he said he wants the people to know that in regards to what Trump said about none of them coming here until they understand who's who and what's going on. He said he's 1,000% behind Trump because he says he's from Bangladesh, that all of the countries, he says, I don't care, Qatar, whatever you name, under their religious sect and what's going on, they're all in total chaos right now as we speak real time, all of them.
Yeah.
And, you know, they come here and they don't want to assimilate, and they take advantage of all of our programs. They keep two different names when they're married here. They don't have the same name. And so then the men are working, and the women get all of the benefits, you know, everything.
Yeah, well, that doesn't surprise me, John.
It's just we gotta realize that their mentality, and it doesn't matter, you know, who they are, they want to get rid of us no matter what. And so we've got to understand that. And when you keep hearing, you know, you're demonized if you say anything, that's not how the United States has been or has a history of being. We have the right to speak up, especially when things change. There's going to be no things that are perfect and nothing's the same.
Well, you'll never be demonized here, John. I can assure you that, because your calls are always welcome, and we love hearing your phone.
And what happened to, as far as an immigration policy and mindset of most Americans, that immigrants are to come to benefit America, not America always benefiting the immigrant?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like we shouldn't be creating a policy that's all about just benefiting the immigrant at the expense of America. It should be in reverse, not at the expense of the immigrant, but it should be to benefit America first. And if the immigrant can fulfill that role of benefiting America, then you take a look at it.
Yeah. What did Kennedy say? Ask not what your country can do for you, but what you can do for the United States of America. It doesn't get any much simpler than
mm-hmm.
that. John, thanks for the call. I appreciate it. Yeah, so why are we the kicking the what's the word
why are we the punching clown, the pop-up clown? Yeah, just keep punching us, and we'll just keep coming up for more.
Yeah, and we take care of people so well. We are one of our callers just said we are the most. It was Joe, I think. We are the most giving country in the world, and yet we are the punching bag for everybody. The hell with that!
Exactly.
It's time to stop doing that.
Mm-hmm.
Let's protect ourselves. Let's use a little common sense. And try and have a, if it's a ban, it's a ban. In Japan, you won't find a mosque. Did you know that?
Mm-mm.
No mosques in Japan. They outlawed it. You want to practice Islam, you practice it in your home.
You know, after the Paris attacks, we all had sympathy for them, naturally. But right from the 9/11 attacks, and then, you know, there was, you know, restrictions on, you know, talking about restrictions on Muslim, that kind of thing. France was one of the first to criticize us. Oh, you can't do that. Now they're doing what we did after 9/11.
Yep.
Hypocrites.
Yep. All right, well, we'll see you on the other side of the break. We'll have Mike from Ann Arbor on with us. All right, we'll see you on the other side.
Hold on there, Mike.
Hi, this is Linda Hughes, General Manager at Wham Talk 1600. Christmas is my favorite time of the year for so many reasons. Getting together with family and friends, watching timeless Christmas movies, and of course, the Christmas carols. The best thing about Christmas is that love is in the air. It's the miracle that happened on that very first Christmas night. Linus says it best.
For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, Jesus Christ the Lord. That's what Christmas is all about, Charlie Brown.
Merry Christmas, everyone.
Fox News Radio, I'm Pat O'Neill. Authorities investigating the San Bernardino attacks that killed 14 are focused on a friend of the couple accused in the attack. They're holding Enrique Marquez as a material witness.
Marquez says he made pipe bombs with Farouk as a hobby. He claims not to have been part of the San Bernardino attack, but he boasted to bar buddies that this area is filled with, quote, sleeper cells, Muslim sleeper cells, according to the New York Times.
Fox's William Lajeunesse. Lawmakers next week will try to hammer out a deal to avoid a government shutdown.
Republicans want to lift the oil export ban and roll back various Obama administration regulations. Democrats are maneuvering to protect Obama's environmental rules and enact permanent tax credits for wind, solar, and other renewable energy.
Fox Radio's Rachel Sutherland. More good news at the pump. AAA says a gallon of gas now costs an average $2.02. About half the states have prices under $2. Fox News. We report. You decide.
It's time now for Wham! Talk 1600's Community Calendar with Brandon Drake.
The Michigan Ability Center, or MAC, is an equine-assisted therapy center with innovative, enjoyable, and rewarding therapy programs that focus on abilities, not disabilities. Programs are customized to achieve goals, improve function, foster pre-vocational skills, promote wellness, enhance self-esteem, and empower children, adolescents, and adults who have physical, mental, emotional, or learning challenges. Year-round services, including therapeutic riding, recreational riding, and equine-facilitated learning and mental health, are provided at a 60-acre historic farm. Equine-assisted therapy benefits clients with physical, mental, emotional, and learning challenges of all ages. MAC's clients range from 2 to 90 years old. Discover the healing and empowering benefits of horsepower and improve your health and well-being as a client or volunteer team member. Donations are also appreciated. The Kiwanis Club of Ann Arbor has established a service-oriented satellite at MAC. MAC volunteers have the option of joining this Kiwanis satellite at MAC and benefit from belonging to Kiwanis International. The Michigan Ability Center Professional Association of Therapeutic Horsemanship International Center is located at 7286 West Ellsworth Road in Ann Arbor. For more information, call 734-622-9500 or visit MichiganAbilityCenter.org. Check out the wide variety of educational fun events put on by the Ann Arbor District Library for kids preschool through 12th grade. All library facilities can be reached by phone through the main switchboard at 734-327-4200, or you can visit www.aadl.org. Check it out.
You've been listening to the Wham! Community Calendar. To have your event publicized, email community@whamradio.com. You're listening to The Drift on Wham! Talk 1600. Join in the conversation at 734-822-1600. Now, back to your host, Gary Wellings.
And welcome back. Thank you for tuning in to catch our drift. Joining me in studio, Brandon Drake.
Hey, hey.
Hey, so I don't know if you caught the free press this week. Did you see anything in the free press this week that got your goat?
I have not.
Got your goat.
I haven't looked at it.
They did a front page editorial, like I guess the New York Times did it, so they figured. Now, I do it with The Current occasionally, and I originally had a few people say, you're not supposed to do that. I'll do anything I want. And obviously, New York Times and the Free Press feels the same way, because they went ahead and called Donald Trump a bigot and said, we stand together as a community and we disavow this banning of Muslims from the country. It was a front page editorial in the Detroit Free Press this week. And of course, the guy praying on the cover is a Muslim, right? Imam Husham al-Husseini. Who's their poster boy, obviously. He's the guy that was on Sean Hannity, I think it was last year. He wouldn't denounce Hezbollah. So is the Free Press now saying it's perfectly okay to endorse terrorism? You know, putting this guy on your front cover while you're trying to call Donald Trump a bigot who just proposed doing what Jimmy Carter did? Shame on the Detroit Free Press. What a bunch of liberal ninnies. You guys are you're endangering all of us when you put that kind of rhetoric out there on the front page.
Yeah, just brain dead, just moronic.
You know, I loved the Free Press because it came in the morning as a kid. I would read it, but my dad was always like, ugh, I just can't stand it. And I'm like, yeah, they're a little biased, aren't they? The Free Press should be just ashamed of themselves for putting this terrorist supporter on the front page and calling Donald Trump a bigot in the same line that, but they no mention of Jimmy Carter having done something similar, you know?
And also the rallying cry of the left. That means the King of Jordan can't come here. He's one of our most valuable allies again. And he seems like he's a pretty decent guy. I mean, yeah. You know, that he knows what's going on with jihad and all that. And I'm sure there's a bounty on his head. No, it doesn't mean he can't come here.
Yeah, it comes down to the detail. The devil is always in the details.
Exactly.
You're not going to just wholesale blanket, no Muslims come here. And they weren't throwing out Muslims that are already here either.
Another bashing of Donald Trump that I saw, I watched a little bit of Jimmy Kimmel a few nights ago just by chance. And I generally like Jimmy Kimmel. He can make me laugh or he can be amusing. He had this little shtick where he sends some little intern into the street, and this guy's running up and down the sidewalk, throwing a microphone in people's faces and saying, fill in the blank, Donald Trump is the worst nightmare of, and he puts the microphone at their mouth, and then people are going, the country, mankind, blah, blah, blah. It's like all just...
Yeah, it doesn't get any more biased than that.
Yeah, just ripping on Trump. And one guy... First, he didn't say anything, and then as he starts to walk away, he turns around and says, Donald Trump is a great man. And this intern looks into the camera, horrified, and the audience is like, oh, that's so terrible. How could anyone think that he's a great man?
Yeah.
And yeah, it was a real smear in the name of comedy against Donald Trump.
Right, right. And I'd like to see that on Barack Obama, but they never do. Let's take a call from Mike, who's been waiting patiently. Mike from Ann Arbor, welcome to the show.
Good afternoon, guys. I'm supporting Donald Trump, and I'm not ashamed of supporting Donald Trump. I'm proud of supporting Donald Trump, and I think Donald Trump is a nationalist, and this is what I think America is looking for.
Oh, definitely.
One of the things that Donald Trump is doing is he's handing it to the news media. He's giving it to them both barrels, and this is something that the Republican Party has never been able to do.
That's correct.
With the exception of Ronald Reagan. He is doing what no other, even Ted Cruz. I like Ted Cruz, but Ted Cruz came down a little bit with his little snide remarks in private, in a little private session about Donald Trump. Donald Trump is doing what is on almost every country, we have enough. It is time for a real change. And the simple fact that he puts it out there, he says it like it is, he doesn't cut corners, he doesn't worry about people's feelings. He is concerned about the future of this country, and nobody, and this, you know, I heard a couple people say on other shows on Wham, you know, we've got a deep bench, we have a very shallow bench. If you take a look at people like Kasich, they'll be eaten alive. Bush, he'll be eaten alive. Chris Christie, I still can't get over his lip lock with Obama, okay? He's toast. He's basically toast. And as far as Carly Fiorina, Rush put it perfectly the other day. If you think that Hillary's going to wipe the floor with Trump, then why aren't you wiping the floor with Trump? Why should you be the nominee if you can't handle Trump? Okay?
Yeah, that's exactly right, Mike. That's
so
exactly
my
right.
My whole feeling when I hear people say, and I heard on Linda's show, I hate to mention another show, but I heard on Linda's show a guy call up and say, well, there was this survey done on Eric Erickson's show showing something that 47% or something, or 50% or something like that, hate Donald Trump. Well, Eric Erickson is a guy that hates Donald Trump.
Yeah, that's the red state guy, isn't it?
I won't
Eric
put
Erickson?
Anything I see from that says Eric Erickson.
Yeah.
I know exactly where it's coming from. It's coming from the Karl Rove
Yeah, he's a slanted establishment guy. And, you know, I've had enough. What I like about Donald Trump, and I'm not saying I like Ted Cruz, too. What I like about Donald Trump, he knows how to manipulate the media. He's been manipulating the media since day one, and they're giving him everything he wants. They're giving him airtime 24 hours a day. And you know what? That's what we need in a president who can tell the fifth columnists in the media, because that's what they are.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just Islam that's an enemy here. It's the media. The media of this country is the enemy, because they're screwing us all with the slanted, biased news reporting that they're doing.
Yeah, most college professors, in a sense, they're almost like a media because they're indoctrinating gullible, idiot kids that don't know squat, so they look up to a college professor thinking, this is the guy I'm supposed to learn from.
Yep.
And don't you love it the way he's pulling the media around by the nose?
Absolutely.
Don't you just love, I love when I see the nightly news, and I basically just watch to see what they're going to say about Trump, and then I turn it off. But every one of them, they cannot believe how can these people support Trump? How can they cheer Trump? They, in their minds and in their hearts, have the same feeling that I have and that Donald Trump has. Enough is enough. We've had it. Hey, folks, you've had your 8 years with Obama. It's over. I don't think, to be honest with you, I don't think there'll be in my lifetime another guy that's a black man that'll make it to the presidency. I love Ben Carson, but I don't think he's going to make it. And as far as Ted Cruz is concerned, Ted, why don't you run as the vice president to Donald Trump?
And then after Donald is done,
you might run for the presidency. Because if Ted Cruz gets in, I can tell you something right now, the Republicans will eat him alive. And I heard one guy say earlier in your show that Donald Trump is poison to the Republican Party. Well, maybe it's about time the Republican Party is poisoned.
Yeah, well, there you go. The Republican Party, I'm bashing them all the time. Hey. And I've been on Twitter just laying into Reince Priebus this week. And I tell
Reince
everybody, Priebus, go on to Twitter, hit at Reince, which is his Twitter handle, and go to Facebook and hit at GOP and tell them, I'm done with you. I'm not giving you enough money, any more money, because you know what? When you have these backdoor deals like you did, and we're going to get into that in a minute, the backdoor deals of brokering the convention, and what they're going to do is, these people like Kasich, who should have dropped out, and Pataki, who should have dropped out, they're going to suspend their campaigns and save their votes so they can be given away to the people that the establishment GOP wants. And that's bullcrap. That should not be happening.
What's going to happen to the Republican Party if they try this? They are finished.
Absolutely.
They're
I agree 100%.
Hey, Mike.
And I can tell you something else. Maybe we need a third party in this country. Maybe we need to have four or five parties in this country instead of just two parties, because it's the same thing over and over again. Donald Trump is a breath of fresh air to the political life of this country. And if it wasn't for Donald Trump, we would really be in trouble. He's putting all the things right in front of everybody so that they see it. And the Republicans and the Democrats can't hide it anymore. It's out there. They are naked as a jaybird.
Yeah. Hey, Mike,
good day, guys.
Hey, Mike, hold on a second. You still there?
Yeah.
Okay. You referenced, you said enough is enough is enough, and I totally agree with you. I can sense in the tone of your voice you totally capture what I'm feeling. And also, I want to add on to that when you said about, people, you've had your 8 years. That's like... We can't take anymore the past 8 years. But for me, it's not just the last 8 years. It's over the last 20 years plus, more than 20 years of let's get back to America first, nationalism, you know, and let's start talking straight and get rid of the political correctness crap. But Barack Obama is the poster child for everything
despising. Can I tell you something? I'm repeating myself from what I said earlier. In France, Marie Le Pen has won the first round of elections there. Hollande is dead. He's going to be out. And in South America, two countries have changed their governments from the leftist governments to right governments, in Venezuela and Argentina. The winds of change are coming, and to the liberals, I have one warning. The way you treated us, you watch out, because we may treat you worse than you ever treated us, and you've got it coming.
Yeah, it's a pent up frustration we're all finally just saying enough is enough, and we've had it, years, decades of frustration that's been building up.
Yep.
And I would say to Ted Cruz, take it easy, Ted, because I don't think you're going to make it. They're going to cripple you. Donald Trump is the only guy that can stand up to him for one reason. He's got the mouth and he's got the money.
And he's got the guts.
That's taken for granted. The man is gutty, and I'm for him. And as far as I'm concerned, the rest of the Republican ticket is weak.
All right. Great call. Thanks, Mike,
Thanks, Mike. Hey, Gary.
Yeah.
Republican backdoor deals.
Oh.
It'd make a great porn parody.
It's brutal, dude. Well, before we get into that, though, because we're going to try and get us, we'll just skip right through this. We were talking about moderates earlier, and last week I think we talked a lot about moderates. And we always get this, it's the moderates. And that's one of the things that Ken, our caller, always has, you know, it's Islam in total. It's not just the radicals. It is the moderates.
He's saying it's either Islam or it's not Islam.
That's right. And here was a moderate Muslim, what we would call a moderate Muslim, down in Texas, who agreed with Donald Trump's comments. He said, it's common sense. He said, the people we have here right now are starting to have some issues. And why would we bring in more when they're having these issues? Derek, you got track three ready? Let's play this. This is Imam Nidal, Dr. Nidal Asayed, who was in charge of the Texas, Southeast Texas Muslim area down there.
Dr. Nidal Asayed rather, tells KFDM News he was forced to resign as religious director of the Islamic Society of the Triplex after making comments where he agrees with Donald Trump's statements to temporarily stop accepting any new Muslim immigrants into the United States. KFDM Haley Buell sat down with the former imam today. She joins us live in the studio with this report. Haley, the former imam, very, very passionate about defending his statements tonight.
Tiffany, Dr. Nidal Asayed became emotional at times in standing by his comments, simply that Trump's statements were in line with Islamic religion. While he says he expected a call to resign eventually, he says it was sped up by politics, something he says should not mix with religion.
I don't get me involved in any political games in the name of religion. I am not here a political man.
But Dr. Nidal Asayed says political motivations,
sadly to say it's Clinton versus Trump,
have forced him to resign as imam.
We cannot use or behave in the Islamic societies in a way to act in a political dimension.
Monday, Dr. Asayed, then the religious director of the Islamic Society, the Triplex, told KFDM News he agrees with a statement
from
presidential candidate
Donald Trump.
Donald Trump
is calling for a total and complete shutdown of Muslims entering the United States.
That the U.S. should temporarily stop accepting any new Muslim immigrants into the country because it's difficult to determine if they're coming to commit terrorist acts or to pursue the American dream. But Dr. Asayed says the country should still provide humanitarian aid.
I think any future candidates, presidents, who do not support the fact that we need to be more safe and more cautious about whom to bring into this country, whether they're Muslims or not.
His comments, he says, had nothing to do with politics. But the former imam says Trump's comments are in line with the Islamic religion.
In the holy text of the Holy Quran says, the loss of one life is equivalent to killing the whole mankind.
His viewpoint in part shifting after lingering questions about the backgrounds of the couple responsible for the mass shootings in San Bernardino.
But the way it happens when you see this mass shooting and when you see some people coming with such a very peaceful background, and all of a sudden the intelligence themselves and agencies are not able to figure out what.
Okay, so here's a moderate Muslim standing up as an American and saying, it's common sense. Don't bring in any more.
Yeah.
And what happens to them? They force him out. Yeah, they force him out. And that actually goes on a little longer. I should have let it play out. According to him, 400 imams around the country have been forced out for the same reason just recently, because they're standing up and trying to be moderate and say they love America and that we need to be more cautious, and they're all being let go.
You know, let's assume that there's, in this country for a second, there's never been any terrorism, there's never been any problems, but suddenly you're in charge of immigration and your top advisor comes to you and says, from this point going forward, we're not sure who these people are, Muslim or not Muslim, we're not sure who they are, we have reason to believe that great violence could be inflicted upon our country, we can't screen out the bad ones from the good ones, what should we do? Wouldn't it be common sense to say, put a halt. If you're running a company and you're going to hire 100 people and your HR director comes to you and says, we don't know anything about these people, do you say, hire them all?
That's exactly right.
Or do you say,
great analogy, dude.
You know what? Until we know who these people are, we're not going to hire any of them.
Right.
And keep looking.
Yeah, exactly. Let's take a call from Theron, actually, calling in online one. Theron, welcome to the show.
Hey, I'm digging what you guys are talking about here. I want to second something Drake just said. We don't hear this enough. I'm an old guy, and I'm old enough to remember when it was America First, the Ronald Reagan we win, they lose thing was just standard visceral procedure. It was in our DNA, and I got to tell you, it's time to go back to that. There's nothing wrong with being an American nationalist. And those that are not, those that are American citizens, that do not see themselves in some type of national context, freedom first, I would argue that we need to look at whether or not they aid and abet the enemy. I mean, how could you be an American citizen and not be for America first?
Yeah, that's absolutely
right. And it seems the only place in the world that it's a quote, bad thing, you're looked down upon for taking pride in your country, patriotism, nationalism, is if you're an American.
That's not if you're American. That's if you bought into, as you well know, the progressive lie that's made that standard procedure in the education system, and that's what we fight against.
Well, where I'm coming from is, you know, in the past, I've gone online and I've debated with people from Britain and Australia, Canada, Ireland, and if you have any hint of pride in your country or nationalism, oh, they come down on you like a hammer, but they can say all these great things about their country and how much pride they have, and that's just totally acceptable in the, you know, internet digital world. But if you're an American and you take pride in your country, right away they categorize you as you're a moron that just watches Fox News, aren't you?
Jingoist.
You know, all that kind of stuff. And it's like, you know, I'm tired of hearing it from foreigners. I'm especially tired of hearing it from so-called other Americans that live here. Be an American first, and nationalism is not a bad word.
No, I got it. I got it, man. And I'll tell you, the communists have done their job well over the past 60, 70 years, and that's why Donald Trump is the man. He has shown a white hot light of scrutiny on that, and he's pretty much screaming like out on network. We're mad as hell. We're not going to take it anymore, and the American people know that. So this is good stuff, man. As you know, if you listen to the show, which I know you do from time to time, I say Trump or Cruz, either or. But Donald Trump, I see, is the perfect combination with Cruz as a vice president, and then Cruz takes it from 2024 through 2032.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm with you exactly. Actually, Theron, my only difference is I'd like to see Trump do 4 and then become the ambassador to the UN and go straighten out the UN afterwards.
That'd be great.
No. I want to see John Bolton take the UN apart.
John. I'd vote for John Bolton as president.
There you go.
Yeah, there you go. All right, Vladimir Putin 2016. See you later, man.
Thanks, Theron. All right, so I wanted to get to this next thing because it's very important. I want people to be aware of this. The GOP establishment, that's Reince Priebus, and he's met with Karl Rove and Daniel somebody or other. These are all guys from Bush Romney. They met in the back room, hallowed halls in Washington, D.C., and we're talking about secondary plans or emergency plans for a brokered convention. That's what got me off just before the break there. These guys are trying to do something to stop having an outsider, be it Ben Carson, be it Ted Cruz, or be it Donald Trump, from getting the nomination. They want to squeeze in their own establishment, and that's why they're pulling this chicanery. And watch how who dropped out already? It was Bobby Jindal dropped out, and somebody else dropped out.
Pataki?
But they suspended their campaigns. If you go back and you listen and remember, they did not say no. Right. They suspended their campaigns. And I think this whole thing has been in the works since the beginning. When they suspend their campaign, they go into a brokered convention, the establishment can say, we're taking Bobby Jindal's 10 or 12 delegates that people wanted to vote for him, and we're going to assign them to Jeb Bush.
Yeah, when they suspend their campaign, it just means they want to spend more time with their family. Reince Priebus, that sounds like some type of Latin cartoon character.
I do not trust this man.
What is that name?
I don't like this man, and I really believe that he's one of these. You know what? If you stand for freedom in the American way, the GOP establishment no longer represents that. They really don't, and it's just amazing. Derek, you got that track on the GOP ready? Let's listen to that real quick.
With 53 days to go before the caucuses in Iowa, 220 days until the Republican convention in Cleveland, and Donald Trump still leading the polls, the Republican Party establishment is now preparing for a brokered convention, officially. Let me bring in someone we can now call an NBC News and MSNBC political analyst, officially. Welcome aboard, Bob Costa of the Washington Post. You just broke this story moments ago. Walk me through. It's a group of Republican insiders that suddenly decided to start talking about a contested convention. How did this come about?
They met Monday night at the Source restaurant a few steps away from here on Capitol Hill. Reince Priebus was there, Senate Majority Leader McConnell, and a group of longtime party hands, people who've been close to Mitt Romney, George W. Bush, people going back many campaigns. And they said to the party chairman, Priebus, you have to start to prepare for a brokered convention. You have to have a strategy if this goes to a second ballot. What that means, perhaps, Chuck, is having some campaigns, if they decide to end, suspend their campaigns rather than end so they could throw their delegates somewhere.
Now, Robert, our own Casey Hunt confirmed parts of your story, talked to somebody who was in that room, and also noted that two of the people in there were Mitch Daniels, former Indiana president of Purdue University, and former Vice President Dick Cheney. Boy, talk about, I'm like thinking smoke-filled rooms, and I would put those two guys in that room if you were to tell me who would be some Republican Party elders that you might see suddenly rise up and be a big part of a brokered convention.
This was the ultimate gathering of the Republican establishment. It was strictly off the record. Attendees were told not to talk about it. It was like a political fight club. But the word leaked out, and it all became an event because Priebus originally started the meeting, according to people there, just talking about the rules, and then people said, wait a second, McConnell, Priebus, what are we really going to do if Trump starts to have the delegates going into Cleveland? We got to have some kind of game plan.
All right, so there you go. The smoke-filled room is right. They're already out there trying to screw the conservative voters of America and steal away the nomination for their own people.
Yeah, I mean, Trump, who could fault him if he gets to the point in this process with broker deals and back smoke rooms, backdoor? What am I trying to say? I don't know. Who could fault Trump for bailing and saying, screw all that? Right. Third party.
Yeah. Yeah, well, there we go. So, Derek, let's skip that one track and go to the Ben Carson track. You got that one? This is Ben Carson's response after he heard about this deal.
Did he wake up?
Oh, yeah.
He did.
On Friday, Ben Carson followed Donald Trump's lead
Friday,
in threatening
Carson woke
to
up.
Exit the Republican Party, slamming his peers after reports emerged that Republican insiders were discussing a possible deal-making process to decide the party's eventual nominee. With a Tuesday debate between Republican candidates looming, the retired neurosurgeon stated, "If the leaders of the Republican Party want to destroy the party, they should continue to hold meetings like the one described in the Washington Post this morning."
There you go. So Ben Carson's saying, he's stepping up too, saying, wait, you're going to pull this kind of crap on us. I'll pull out too. So you could end up having a Ben Carson, Donald Trump third party ticket.
And he said all that right after he said, oh, where's my peppermint tea?
Peppermint? You! Let's take a quick call from Walter before the end of the show here. Walter, welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you. Man, it's hard to follow Mike from Ann Arbor and Tyrone, I tell you that.
Well, they hit it on the head, didn't they?
Oh, man, they hit it right on the head. They're passionate. It sounds like you guys are fired up and passionate, too. That's one of the ones I want to hear coming from my candidates. And you just mentioned Ben Carson going to sleep and waking up. I've been saying that about him all along. He's okay, he tells the truth. But he's... I feel like Rip Van Winkle, man.
Yeah, I love Ben Carson, but he is kind of a low-energy guy, and I just don't know that he's ready. I'd love to see him in an administration, but I don't know that he's prepped and ready to go as a president.
Yeah, I couldn't sit in a classroom with him up there lecturing to me. I'd be like, okay, I'm dying here. I gotta get out of here to wake up myself.
He needs to drink about 5 gallons of coffee, but he'd even think about taking an interview. He has some energy, man, you know?
Yeah.
But let me get back to the Bushes. You know, remember Jesse Jackson?
Hurry, Walter. Hurry, Walter, because we're almost out.
Yeah, music's on. Go.
I heard that George W. Bush, he criticized Cruz, talking about I don't like the man. I think he's starting to talk out against Donald Trump. And that clown said he never said one word of criticism against Barack Hussein Obama.
Yes, that's exactly right.
That's a good point, Walter.
That's exactly right. Well, Walter, thanks for the call. Make sure you call us early next week, and we'll get you on, and we'll talk a little bit more about it. All right.
Until
until next week, go to thedailydrift.com. We'll see you then.